Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
These are the new leads.
Now look, I need the leads.
These are the Glengarry leads.
Two lead cards for tonight, two lead cards for tomorrow.
Why give him the good leads?
He's got the leads.
He's got the leads.
He's got the good leads.
The whole thing is the leads.
They stole the Glengarry leads.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
All right, hot leads, day's top stories. Quick recap on the Astros and Phillies as Houston finished off the sweep of Philadelphia earlier this afternoon. Hunter Brown, amazing. 7 innings, 3 hits, no walks, 9 Ks. Bullpen, equally as badass. Brian Abreu came in late after Cam Smith was clutch. Again, 8th inning, huge. Brian Abreu with a 4-out win and 4 Ks in his outing today. All that means the Astros now own the 3rd best mark in all of Major League Baseball, 2nd best record in the American League, now just 2.5 behind the Detroit Meows, a.k.a. the Tigers, for the best mark in the American League. And by the way, I looked this up since you mentioned Yordan Alvarez. I think I'd said something about Bryce Harper, and you were like, well, the Astros have Yordan Alvarez.
So the Astros, people think, oh, well, Bryce Harper didn't play. Yordan Alvarez didn't play.
No.
They cancel each other out.
How good are the Houston Astros this season without Yordan Alvarez?
3rd best record in baseball.
32-18 without
not ass.
Yordan not Alvarez ass. In the lineup. That is pretty damn special, man.
Man, when they had a healthy Yordan in the lineup.
Oh, watch out. Watch out. I hope the baseball gods aren't like, well, if you're going to get Yordan back, we need to take somebody with
they
us.
They are on a 96 win pace.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Without Yordan and with 2 starting pitchers.
Can we still get good odds on the Astros win total plus 90? Like, I wonder if that's still good odds, like worth a little sprinkle, because I would definitely do that at this point in time.
I did take the over.
You did take the over originally. Over. Yeah, it's if you put a little cashola that way, it's probably going to pay off pretty nice for you. The Cubs in town officially tomorrow to kick off a 3-game series with the Astros over the weekend at Daikin. You got Brandon Walter, who's going to open the series tomorrow for the Astros. Possible Lance McCullers Jr. on Saturday and Framber Valdez on Sunday. Now, more Lance McCullers Jr. news. He did some fielding practice today before the game, and according to the Astros manager Joe Espada, quote, it went well. And if he gets up tomorrow and feels good, he's a option, just an option, to start Saturday. Well, who's in line to start if Lance McCullers Jr. is not ready? Well, you know who it is. Had a little bump in the road his last time out against the Angels, I believe it was. Ryan Gusto would get the start on Saturday if, in fact, McCullers is not able to throw. So you've got Walter, McCullers slash Gusto on Saturday, and then Framber Valdez day on Sunday for the Astros to hopefully whoop some ass on those Chicago Cubs. Up next, a lot of NBA draft stuff to get to. Former Baylor guard Vijay Edgecombe got emotional last night when he was doing his interview about his journey. He was asked about, hey, your journey to this moment. He was taken third overall by the Philadelphia 76ers. What's that been like? I thought it was a pretty special moment.
You said you saw the emotions on your mom's face. What were the moments you remember most about just the way your mom poured into you throughout your life and your career?
Man, them long nights. Long nights. I'm telling you, I lived off a generator. I ain't had no electricity. I lived off a generator for 7 years. Man, seeing what she had to go through to feed us, man, it's crazy. It's crazy, but I don't even know, man. My mind everywhere right now, man.
Yeah.
She the real MVP.
That was, I love those stories. I love it. I love it. I love it. VJ Edgecombe. Shout out John McClain, Baylor Bears, Sikkim. Every once in a while, I'll throw one your way, John. Props to you, man. Had some good stuff to say when he was on with us last night about VJ Edgecombe, and we were talking a little Baylor basketball history. Now, from a Rockets standpoint, last night, yeah, they had the 10th overall pick. Really, the Suns did. But you wouldn't know it if you were watching your TV on mute, because when it got to the number 10 pick, the NBA likes to do this very stupid thing that, you know, when you trade said pick, the team that is trading the said pick, they still have to put that hat on because it can't become official until a certain date. It's really dumb. But the Suns took Kaman Maluach, 10th overall, 18-year-old, 7'2" player from Duke, originally from the South Sudan. Here's the pick from the greatest commissioner in NBA basketball history, not Adam Silver.
With the 10th pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Houston Rockets select Kaman Maluach from Rumbek, South Sudan, the NBA Academy Africa in Senegal, and Duke University.
That was a mouthful. One thing's guaranteed. Over the next, I would say, 3 to 5 years, people are going to be looking at this guy, wherever he's at, Phoenix Suns or not, and using that to help judge whether or not this trade was a success. Only if Kevin Durant does not help the Rockets win a NBA title within the next 1 to 3 years.
Do you feel like the Rockets, as currently constituted, are either the favorite or very, very close to being the favorite to go to the NBA Finals next year?
Well, they're second favorite to win the damn thing behind the Thunder, at least according to Vegas. I think I had the odds somewhere. The Thunder are plus 225. I think the Rockets are plus 700. Second best odds. Your Knicks are down there a little ways, like plus 800 or 900. But
I mean, if the Rockets are going to the Western Conference Finals this year,
mm-hmm.
after getting knocked out in the first round, that trade had a big impact.
Is that a legitimate step when you get Kevin Durant and you give up next to nothing? Like, you know, a guy that severely disappointed the fan base and Jalen Green the postseason? Yeah, I think it's a legitimate step. You got better.
I also think that, you know, Shams mentioned this in on a appearance not too long ago about Cam Whitmore being a guy the Rockets are getting a lot of phone calls about.
Yeah.
And I could definitely see a situation where they move Cam Whitmore to get a guy who essentially would replace Dylan Brooks as that 3-and-D type of wing.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that type of deal happening.
I could too. I don't know if I want it to, but I could see it. This is now the very interesting part of the Rockets offseason going forward, okay? Fred VanVleet got an extension. Boom, signed him up. Good. Steven Adams back. You got Kevin Durant in the mix. You know what you're sending out to Phoenix. Okay, you've got a couple of roster spots open, and the level of impact player that you're going to bring in, one, who's it going to be? How much is it going to cost? What's it going to cost you if you do it? If you have to do it via trade? We don't know where the Rockets and Cam Whitmore are from a, you know, respect standpoint.
Relationship standpoint.
Relationship, yeah, because, yes.
Look, Cam had some issues last year. They're maturity issues. And Ime's not going to tolerate those kind of maturity issues. So, but if you're able to go get a legit 3-and-D type guy mm-hmm. to replace what you got from Dylan Brooks for Cam Whitmore, yeah, it sucks that Cam's not going to get his shot here. Part of that's of his own volition. And if you're looking at being a championship team, this team last year couldn't shoot. Right now, the shooters on the team are Kevin Durant, Jabari Smith, and Reed Shepard. Shepard didn't play much last year. Jabari, coming off the bench, didn't always play a whole lot. But those are your three shooters.
Yeah.
You need at least one more shooter.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And, you know, look, it was already going to be interesting if the Rockets decided to stand pat, how Ime Udoka and Jabari Smith were going to both work together and figure out, you know, how to get him more opportunities. Because while he even got the time on the floor, I don't think he made the best use of his time. And I think that was in large part due to, like, you know, an offense that wasn't working the best. And now you're going to have to change some stuff up again and do things basically Kevin Durant's way, how he's fit his game or how his game works best with the players that you currently have.
Probably a good thing. KD knows a little something about offense.
Definitely. He's got a lot of rubbing off to do on the Rockets' younger players. I think it's going to be a great, great thing. Plenty of time to talk about that. All right, coming up next, we'll make a lot of time for our Odyssey MLB insider, the one, the only. Acknowledge him! Bob Nightingale, next on Area 45, in for the drive.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Acknowledge me!
Stand up and acknowledge your baseball tribal chief. Longtime MLB insider, USA Today, MLB Network Radio, Sirius XM, and Odyssey insider, friend of the program. Yeah, he's all of those things. He's Bob Nightingale. How are you doing, Bob?
Yeah, good, Patrick. Thanks.
Always good to talk to you. Let me ask you, you know, Hunter Brown, he does not suck. Is right now, your eyes... Is he the number one pitcher in the American League?
No, it's still Tarik Skubal. I mean, it's an unbelievable start, a nice thing, but you know, if they had a Cy Young, you know, vote right now, it would still be Skubal's to lose. Just what he's done, and you know what he did last year too, you know, with the track record. So I would think too that Skubal would, you know, let, well, as long as it lines up. he'll be the starting pitcher in the All-Star game.
Way to break my heart, Bob.
Another Hunter Brown. Another Hunter Brown-esque question for you. The Astros telecast today put up a poll question during the early portion of the ball game, asking, hey, who do you think the midseason MVP should be for the Stros? Hunter Brown, Jeremy Pena, or someone else? To me, there's only two guys that you can really choose from. It's Pena and Brown. I said Pena. PC is sold on Hunter Brown. Be our tiebreaker.
You know, I'll go the everyday player. I'll go Pena. You know, I mean, he's out there every day. You know, he's, you know, his, whatever the innings Brown is giving you, you know, look at the innings that Pena's playing every single day. I mean, he's going nine innings every day. Hunter Brown is not going nine innings every day. So I'll go Pena.
Wise man once said, Bob Nightingale knows best. That's exactly the answer I was hoping for.
Listen, I make no bones about the fact that I am prejudiced towards pitchers. I make no bones about that.
Hey, Bob, impressive series sweep over the Phils today by the Stros. Your reaction to what the Astros have accomplished from a team-wide standpoint, now officially at the halfway point of the season for them?
Yeah, very impressive. It's amazing. Was it like in April? It's like, okay, are they going to be sellers at the deadline? The season's over. And as soon as they trade away Tucker, okay, they gave up white flag. I tell you what, they, you know, do this year after year. I think people underestimate how aggressive the owner, Jim Crane, is. Like, he's not going to sit back and say, oh, we'll get him next year or we're going to have a semi-rebuild. You know, he's there to win, you know, right now. And I think that'll always be the case as he owns the team. So, no, very impressive. And, you know, I tell you what, that trade has worked out well, you know, for both sides. But it'll really be one-sided if Tucker leaves the Cubs. And, you know, what they get for, you know, having Paredes and, of course, Smith for the next 5-6 years.
Bob, is Kyle Tucker looking at a $500 million-plus contract?
I don't see anybody give him that money. I really don't. I mean, you know, hey, he's a very good player and everything else. You know, you're giving him $500 just because you gave Soto, you know, $765. And, you know, I mean, who in the world gives Soto that kind of money? Yes, you know, you can spend money in so many different ways and get it, you know, get a bunch of guys. So I'm not sure someone's getting $500. So, you know, could someone give him $400? Sure. But 500 is pretty up there. I mean, you're talking about, if you talk about just with the deferred salaries, so you're talking about giving Tucker $40 million more than Shohei Ohtani, which is crazy because Ohtani, you know, sells a ton of tickets. Nothing against Tucker, but I don't know how many people are going to the ballpark to see Kyle Tucker.
What are the chances the Dodgers back up a Brinks truck for Kyle Tucker?
Oh, they could. I mean, they could say, you know what, this guy fits in perfectly. His personality kind of fits us too. You know, we'll have some openings. You know, Conforto is a free agent. It was just a 1-year thing. He's been okay. So they could definitely go after a guy like him. No doubt.
Bob Nightingale, our guest on Sports Radio 610. All right, given the contract talk, Chandler Roma, The Athletic, reported yesterday that the Houston Astros and Jeremy Pena were deep in conversations about a contract extension, throughout numbers, 5 years and maybe more than $105 million. Have you heard anything through the grapevine regarding that situation, especially now that Jeremy Pena has decided to switch agencies and go with Scott Boras?
Yeah, I heard it was 5 years, 100 in the nose. So that's what they were talking about, and he turned it down. And you know, maybe he was getting close, and you know, talked to Scott Boras and his people, and they probably told him, "Hey, you're crazy to sign this. We think we can get you a lot more. You know, you don't switch agencies unless you think you're going to get a lot more money." You know, I think people too forget that, hey, the agent works for you, not the other way around, but. You know, Pena does not switch agents unless he thinks he's going to get a lot more money.
Can you help us, you know, me, our listeners, kind of understand the dynamics, you know, in contract conversations for a player like Jeremy Pena, right? 28 years old. Sure, he's got an ALCS MVP, you know, World Series MVP, but he's having a breakthrough type season right now. for the Astros. If you're a general manager and an owner and you want to lock this guy up, but you also don't want to be insulting at the same time, does 5 years, $100 million on the nose, does that say fair market value for a guy like Jeremy Peña, or is that a low ball? How did you see that deal as you heard it?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly made sense. It was $20 million a year. He's begging himself. Remember when the Astros tried to sign Carlos Correa? He turned him down, hit free agency, and, you know, as it turns out, he would have, you know, been better off just staying in Houston, sort of thing. So you see it all the time. Bregman got offered, the money from Houston, what was it, 160, I believe. Mm-hmm. He ended up signing for 120, shorter years, obviously. But, I think, they thought, hey, that's a fair offer. And, if Peña didn't think it was semi-fair, he would have, just walked away right away. Instead, he's, probably said, can I get more? What do you think of this? And got different people's advices, including Scott Boras. He said, okay, we think you're selling yourself short. You're going to make a lot more money if you just ride this thing out and become a free agent. So probably that's what he's going to do.
Bob, we've talked to you a couple times now about, who might be looking to sell at the deadline, as we're now a little less than five full weeks away from the deadline. But as you look at the standings, look, there's not a lot of teams that you look at and you say, yeah, you know what, they're probably out of it. There's really only, say, three teams in the American League that you can look at and say, yeah, they're pretty much toast. One of them being the Baltimore Orioles, who happen to have a guy who won a championship in Houston and Charlie Morton in their rotation. Is Charlie Morton a guy that the Astros could have a reunion with? He seems to have gotten himself figured out here in the month of June.
He could. I mean, just for an inning eater, but with Charlie Morton, are you really going to start him in the playoffs? Are you going to start him in a short series? I don't think so. If they're not in the race, you can get him for, a bag of balls. I'm just going to pick up the contract. That sort of thing. So, but I'm sure Houston right now is thinking bigger than that. Like, hey, we want a starter that can, be one of their top three guys in a postseason rotation. So, particularly where they sit right now, I would think they'd be thinking, bigger than a guy like Charlie Morton.
Could they be thinking about a guy like Sandy Alcantara?
Yeah, definitely. Because then you have him for the next 2.5 years. And the beauty of him is, okay, Framber Valdez, he's probably going to walk away. I bet Astros, aren't going to give him what he may make from some other teams. So they may say, let's sign up, let's grab Alcantara. And then that way we get protection when Valdez leaves.
No Max Fried deal for Framber Valdez.
Yeah, that's like coping against hope right now. I feel like it's just, this is what the Astros don't do, is give long-term contracts. And speaking of which, like, we were watching Cam Smith, who was clutch again earlier today, Bob, and I told PC, kind of like tug-in-cheek response, like, sign this guy up right now, 10 years, let's do it, I don't care. Sometimes you can just see it. It, at least it feels that way when times are really good, Bob. But when you're, an outside observer, you cover all of Major League Baseball, you're looking at this from a bird's eye view. You look at a guy, and Ben Verlander said this the other day, I believe with us when he was on, that, look, Cam Smith, he's had one of the fastest tracks to Major League Baseball, literally drafted out of college last year. Maybe he's close to 100 professional games in his career, doing what he's doing on various stages when his team and maybe himself in a position that he's never played before, back up against the wall, and he's performing like this. That's pretty special. What do you see from Cam Smith, his future, and is this a guy that the Astros could maybe, break philosophy for at some point?
It could. I mean, the future is so bright for him to do this with so little minor league experience is very impressive. Kind of reminds you, I'm not saying he's Jackson Merrill, because Jackson Merrill had never even played the position before. I don't think even in elementary school. He's one of the top center fielders in all of baseball. And they locked him up to about $110 million contract. So same thing could happen with Cam Smith. That believe him that much. hey, why not sit down in this winter and say, okay, let me make an extension offer. See if you want to keep him. But future is very, very bright. So, the Cubs knew they had a good player, but, you know, they wanted to go for it right now. But if you're the Astros, man, you're sitting pretty because you're saying, wait, we're going to win the division, without Kyle Tucker. And yet now we have a Cam Smith for the next 5 years as well. It's pretty impressive.
Bob, if you take a look at the AL West, you know, the Mariners, they never go all in. I'm not worried about the Mariners. The Angels, they'll find a way to angel things up. But the Rangers, despite being a game under 500, they're only two games out of a wild card. And last year, they kind of held the line on payroll because of the bankruptcy with their sports network and, you know, trying to figure out how much money they got coming and all that. Well, now that all that's resolved, do you expect the Rangers will be aggressive at the deadline, or do you think they look at this season and say, we got too many guys who are just not getting it done this year, hold off on this year, retool in the offseason?
No, I think they'll be aggressive. You know, as long as they're, you know, got a realistic shot to get in the playoffs, it's too good of a pitching staff. And, hey, all you do is look at Seattle and how Seattle blew it last year and just waste that pitching staff. That pitching staff, you know, could have got the Rangers to a World Series. I mean, I'm sorry, Mariners were a little serious. So same thing here with that pitching staff. Nobody wants to face that Rangers pitching staff in October, the way they're lined up, Jacob DeGrom being back to be Jacob DeGrom. So, no, I think they'll be aggressive for sure. Got a very aggressive GM in Chris Young. Bruce Bochy, who knows how much, you know, this is it for him, I'm not sure. But you want to win right now.
Bob Nightingale, our guest on Sports Radio 610, our Odyssey MLB insider. Always appreciate your time, Bob. Fun to talk some ball with you. We'll look forward to next time. Have a great rest of your week, dude.
All right. A pleasure. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Bob Nightingale. He's awesome. Our guy. Stand up. Acknowledge the best.
Acknowledge me.
The best. Bob Nightingale.
The reality is the only team in the division that's going to really mount a challenge to the Astros is going to be if the Rangers just go full out at the deadline and try to bolster that offense. They have money this year they didn't have last year. They have some prospects. You know, that is the only team that I look at in the division that has a chance to make it interesting if they make some big moves at the deadline. We know they have money this year they didn't have last year. So they're the only one that interests me. The Mariners always find a way, like, no matter what it is, they're never all in. Like, last year, what did they go out and get, like, 49-year-old Justin Turner? I know it was, like, 42, but whatever.
But they needed that. It just shouldn't have been the only thing that they did.
But instead of going out and making the deal for the real impact hitter,
yeah,
they were out and they got a guy who's super old, doesn't really have any power anymore, can't play defense. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the move that you made because they're never all in.
Yeah, it's pretty funny the way that you do that because it's the Mariners are almost like expecting more from their players that may not be capable of delivering that, whereas the Rangers, they've got the players with the potential. They are just continuously underperforming.
The Rangers underperform, but Seattle, they have money. They just won't spend it.
Yeah, they're not even. With the Justin Turner thing last year, they weren't even trying to live in the margins. That was a good pickup. That's a good pickup for a guy to, like, carry you over. Like, if you're missing a veteran presence, right, in the clubhouse, you think that's important, cool, do that. But what about, like, overall production? No, you still got to be able to score runs to win baseball games. I agree with you on
they
that.
They needed, like, what Joe Espada called an aircraft carrier.
Yeah,
they couldn't score in a whorehouse with a fistful of 50s last year.
Oh,
but they had the best pitching staff in the league, and they blew it because they couldn't score any runs.
Yeah.
So now, like, so what do you do? How do you improve that offense? Well, let's get a 40-something-year-old guy who'll hit us some singles.
Over, under. I set it at 8. Will the Astros be over or under 8 by the Major League Baseball version end of the first half in terms of a game lead over the Mariners?
At the trade deadline?
Yeah.
And not the trade deadline.
No, not
the
trade
All-Star
deadline.
Game.
At the All-Star game. Yeah.
Will they be 8 games up at the All-Star game?
Or under.
book it. Over.
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 Ooh, love it. They're six now, baby. Six now with some baseball to be played tonight. Coming up next, we have a little fun. It's called Bandwagon. We'll do it next.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm on a board. Yeah, he's been off the wagon 2 years.
Off the wagon?
I think it's off the wagon.
I think it's on the wagon.
You're back on the wagon.
Right off the wagon.
What the hell do you know about wagon?
I know enough not to get on.
Told you.
All right, it's time to get on or get off. We're going to play some bandwagon. All right, Sean. And it's over.
What?
Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom. It's over.
I didn't know they started.
6 years.
Orlando Bloom hasn't been relevant for like 15.
The last time we saw Orlando Bloom, where he was slinging arrows as Legolas. I'm sure you did not watch Lord of the Rings.
Definitely not.
Did you watch Troy?
Yes.
Okay, so that's probably the last thing you saw.
Last time. Yes.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
No.
You know he didn't watch that.
Come on. How about no?
So Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom.
Somebody tell Johnny Depp, by the way, that he can finally break character from the Pirates of the Caribbean guy. Like,
have been engaged for 6 years.
Ugh.
And now it's over.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, well,
screw that up.
Apparently it was a long time coming. Things have been tense between them for months. Sources say Perry is very upset, but she's relieved she doesn't have to go through another divorce. As she had to go through a divorce with Russell Brand, who she was married to for all of 2 years.
Mm.
They say that Katy Perry keeping busy with her current tour. She said that her and Bloom were planning on making their Montecito home their primary residence and having a family home.
Aww.
But now there will be no family.
No.
They've been living apart since Katy went on tour. Orlando Bloom was just spotted over the weekend with their 4-year-old daughter, Daisy Dove.
Aww.
He's also apparently set to attend the wedding of Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez. So apparently Orlando Bloom hangs out in the big baller circle and is going to Jeff Bezos' wedding.
Yeah, that's pretty baller.
They were originally waiting until her tour was over before they said told everybody they were splitting, but here we are.
Because we need to know.
Need to know. So, Sean, you'd use a hall pass on Katy Perry on or off the bandwagon.
On the bandwagon.
That was the fastest bandwagon hit you've ever hit.
Damn straight. Easiest question ever. Who's not using the hall pass on Katy Perry? She's amazing. And remember that one time, like when J.J. Watt was still playing? That, you know, he was doing like some award show and Katy Perry was there and people were like, oh no, is J.J. Watt and Katy Perry going to be a thing? And then they weren't a thing. I was glad that they weren't a thing because that was just a sliver of hope that Katy Perry was going to remain single. Little did I know that she was actually shacking up with this guy that hadn't been relevant for 2 decades, Orlando Bloom. Lord of the Rings stuff doesn't count. Pirates of the Caribbean stuff doesn't count. Horrible movies, horrible ideas for books and stuff like that. But Katy Perry's hot, so yes, I'll pass.
So yes, I'm on this bandwagon. but hold on. You said Lord of the Rings, horrible movies.
I knew that would ruffle your feathers.
Yes,
Rob Torres said, like, Sean probably hadn't even heard of Lord of the Rings books. Of course I've heard of it. I just don't find it interesting.
It's not a documentary. Sean doesn't care.
Correct.
But one of the best trilogies,
you're
man.
Speechless.
If they made a documentary on seagulls pooping, Sean would watch it before he watched Lord of the Rings.
Now, look, that's just going too far right there.
But it's factual.
No. Lord of the Rings.
But it's factual.
Some of the best movies I've ever seen.
Look,
man.
I would say this. I'm more likely to watch Lord of the Rings than I am Star Wars crap.
Just but he's more likely to watch a documentary on seagulls
pooping. Of course. Of course.
That is false, sir.
Yes, I'm definitely using my hall pass for her. Absolutely.
All the hall passes.
What?
Yes. All the hall passes. And maybe more on Katy Perry. Absolutely. Ooh. Full bandwagon.
Yeah.
The greatest celebration may have been even greater than you thought. The Florida Panthers Stanley Cup celebration, which was epically badass. Apparently, they racked up a $500,000 bill at a club and were fully comped.
What?
So they were at this club called 11 in Miami, where they spent $500,000. The clubs opened 24 hours a day during the weekend, and they hosted the Panthers until the very early hours of the morning. Some players weren't quite ready to leave. Alexander Barkov, who's the captain, had to pull Brad Marchand out of the club at 5 a.m. once he found out that their bill was being comped, because apparently Marchand was racking up the bill in a hurry. Matthew Tkachuk had told the Spit and Chicklets podcast that he was going to pay before he realized it was a $500,000 comp. He says, "We were treated pretty well there. They do a good job. They're classy." Seeing Marchand hold the cup crowd surfing at 11 was totally out of control, according to another person who saw this. Sean, when a team wins a title, they should be comped everywhere in that city. Are you on or off the bandwagon?
On the bandwagon on that one, 100%. Those guys shouldn't have to buy a drink or dinner in that town. Or maybe booze. For the next year or two.
Or anything.
Hell, for a team that's won, what? How many Stanley Cups have they got?
Two in a row.
Two in a row, and they've been to three straight Stanley Cup finals. Yeah, they should be good for a while, to be honest with you. $500,000 tab, fully comped. Do you guys remember like 3, 4, 5 years ago, something like that, a 49ers rookie tab like was said to have approached $300,000? These are football players, rookies, $300,000. Dude, hockey players don't freaking play. To put up a $500,000 like in just a couple hours time celebration. Like,
they do some drinky drinky.
I will guarantee you that an NFL team this year tries to break that record because that's a thing now. You're going to hear about that come training camp. Somebody's going to try to put up like almost $1 million tab, and it can happen depending on where you go.
I'm on this bandwagon. I mean, you got to think about it. Not only is it good for them, but it's especially when a team wins a championship. How much happiness it brings to the city.
Yeah.
It's just like, thank you, man. Thank you for everything. I mean, you brought a chip to the city. We're happy. I can sit here and just rant about, oh, my team won, your didn't. You know, all that stuff. So I'm on. And also another thing, if I was there, I would put my tab on theirs.
Boom. There you go.
Okay. A, yes, teams should absolutely be comped everywhere. B, if the Texans win the Super Bowl, what club in Houston is comping them a $500,000 or north? Don't say Treasures. Go.
Oh, you mean, why did you? I didn't know you could be. I'm 42, bro. I don't know about the club scene now, but that's exactly where I'm saying. Oh, gentlemen's club? I don't know. Nice part of town, Galleria area. If you're not going to let me say Treasures, Gold Cup, does that still exist? Another nice part of town. I don't know the club scene anymore in Houston, like that particular club scene. The other club scene, I don't know that well either, but I know they ain't going nowhere. But if you're taking Treasures off the list, I'll have to go Gentlemen's Club, sir. There you have it.
Chris, you're a little closer in the age group to the clubbing. What club would be the one that you'd want them to comp the Texans party?
I'm not going to lie. I can't tell you. I don't go clubbing. I haven't gone clubbing in years. So I really don't know what's out there.
Years?
So, yeah,
years. Aren't you like a house music guy?
Yes, but...
I mean, they've got like clubs that don't even open till like 3 a.m. that I figured you would be...
Bauhaus stays open till 4 a.m., I think. And that's like the house scene, I guess. But I've only been once.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay. Look, some place where you can get like a $125,000 bottle of champagne, that's probably where they will go.
Number of clubs I've been to in the city of Houston?
Zero.
Zero. Number of...
You didn't have to tell me.
Number of gentlemen's clubs I've been to in the city of Houston.
I'm not looking, but I'm going to say four.
It's the same answer.
Okay.
It's zero.
Chris, thank you. PC, thank you. It's been fun. It's been wild. Squirrel, I'm Sean Bajani.
Hey, Sean!
They just persevered.
Yeah.
Let's go, man.
Oh, Undertaker, we have the ashes for you with the urn of power. Undertaker.
Mr. Chris.